podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Bienvenue au Run Run Live podcast, le podcast pour les coureurs, les futurs coureurs et les membres du peloton de toutes les formes et de toutes les tailles qui veulent juste attacher leur paire de chaussures préférées et sortir. This isn't Chris, your host. This is Margot from Paris. So when you've done listening to the Run Run Live podcast, why don't you come to Paris, where you could go for a run around the Eiffel Tower and the Champ de Mars until you feel ready for a chocolate and banana crepe? Or run up to the top of Montmartre, have a beautiful glass of wine, and then run down again. Or even go for a run in the Jardin des Tuileries and finish it off with a lovely picnic full of beautiful cheeses and different kinds of bread. Alors, où et quand vous vous trouvez quand vous écoutez cet épisode? J'espère que vous allez bien. J'espère que vous avez couru ou allez courir aujourd'hui. Je sais que moi j'ai couru. Prêt pour vous amuser? Allons-y alors! On va courir?
This episode of the Run Run Live podcast brought to you by Viagra, the anti-libidinal for active men.
Now that you've embraced the healthy, active lifestyle of an endurance athlete, you deserve a peaceful and fulfilling relationship with your spouse. But as an endurance athlete, you've now got the heart and lungs of a man half your age. And with that, you've got excellent blood flow. Like many endurance athletes, you may have found that athletic prowess causes inconvenient surges in your man zone that are inappropriate for those long-term relationships and workday life. That's why Pizer has introduced Viagra. With this one little red pill, all the inconvenient and embarrassing urges for passionate lovemaking will be a thing of the past. Brought to you from the creators of SuperNag medicating powder, Viagra is made from the finest refined saltpeter and organic camel dung. Viagra acts to banish randy thoughts and activity for up to 48 hours. So if you're mortified and embarrassed of being that horny old guy with the spontaneous blood flow issues hanging out by the water cooler, Viagra can help. Talk to your physician about using Viagra today. Your spouse will sleep easier knowing that you've tended to your male health needs.
Viagra, the anti-libidinal for active men.
Not to be taken within 48 hours of ultra-endurance event may cause bleeding from the eyeballs and suicidal tendencies, and finding justification in spending $10,000 on a bicycle. In the event of not having an erection for up to 4 consecutive years, consult a physician or your left hand for a ring.
What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hello and welcome to episode 94. I'm all choked up. I just watched Marley and Me with Buddy. I cried when I read the book. I didn't think the movie was going to have me choked up, but it did. I was having to give Buddy hugs. So this is episode 94 of the Run Run Live podcast, and this is Chris, your host. And welcome. Got a great show for you today. I'm interviewing a young lady named Ashley, and she is running across the U.S., and I think you'll really like the interview. She really has her act together. So who am I? I am a mid-pack marathoner, just an old-time runner guy, and I'm here to see what I can do to share anything I might have picked up along my travels, any kind of tribal knowledge or wisdom of our sport. And thank you, big thank you, to Iron Man Bobby. He did the anti-libidinal skit, so I'm real glad I don't have his problems, aren't you? And he does an interview podcast. Go check out his video podcast, his vidcast. He interviewed me when I was down in D.C. at the Marine Corps Marathon, and he's going to get that up soon, he says. And so that's for your viewing pleasure. Although, alternatively, you could just take a picture of your dog's butt while the dog is barking, and that would be a good simulacron of me doing an interview. Sorry. You know, I can't imagine anyone would want to see me on the interview on the video, but so I guess I'm the king of all running media now, just like Howard Stern. Not that I listen to Howard Stern anymore, but speaking of media, with the holidays coming up, you might want to check out my book that I wrote a couple years ago of running stories. It's called The Mid-Packer's Lament, and it's on Amazon.com by Christopher Russell from the Runic Press. And like I said, it's a collection of running stories and articles. It's kind of funny. Be appropriate for a runner on your list. And just to change gears a little bit, I was listening to something in the car, and they were talking about this study they did where they had a lady cut into line. People were waiting in line to use a copy machine, and they had a lady cut in line, so come up and say, "Do you mind if I get in front of you?" And 60% of the time, people would just let her cut in just because she asked. But what they found was, once, if she was to add the word "because," so "let me cut in front of you because I only have 5 copies," or "because," it didn't even have to make any sense, but if she had a reason, the percentage of time they let her cut in would go up into the 90s. Because our brains are just hardwired to say, if this person has a reason, we should let them go. You know, why do I bring this up? No reason. I just thought it was interesting. Go out to Amazon and buy my book for someone because I need a new mountain bike. And while you're at it, go give this podcast a positive review on iTunes because I like my Border Collie buddy. It's been a decent week, folks. Week or two of running. After the marathon last week, or almost 2 weeks ago now, I had a bit of a funk. You still got 3 runs in, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, dog runs, woods runs. Did a little excellent outing on Sunday with Devo and Brian and my club. Did somewhere around 15 miles, felt strong, fast. You know, I've run every day this week, including some tempo intervals on Tuesday that I'm going to talk about a little bit later in this podcast. And I'm leaning towards running the Atlantic City Marathon in New Jersey next week. And I just want to get a Boston qualifier on the books so I can get one for 2011, so I don't have to worry about next summer having to train if I don't want to, if I want to do something else. Oh, speaking of Buddy, there he is. He's at the door. Got this great interview later. This lady, Ashley, she's running across the USA for multiple sclerosis. Got some other tips and stuff for you, too. So enjoy it all, and on with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
And we're out of here. We're leaving work. It's 5:55. How nice. And we're in the mobile Camry studio, driving through the Burlington Mall. And I work, my office building is next to a big mall in Burlington, Massachusetts. And I measured up this morning, or sometime, that the once around the mall on the sort of the loop road, the periphery road around the mall, is almost exactly a mile. And I'm sure they planned it that way somehow. But so I went out today and I did laps. My thinking is that I can use it for speed work when the snow comes, because my track gets snowed in. Got a lot going on in my little brain, so that's one of the things I tested out. It worked okay. I mean, the traffic is a little squirrely. People don't know what to do when you're running along. But one of the things I wanted to get to here was my New Balance 800s that I bought. I was telling you about last week before. These are the Qi running shoes. Now, I wore those again today. And I've gotten comments from more than one person that, hey, these shoes have too much cushion for me. And that's not quite true. The cushion's in a different place. So you're running in them wrong. And I know what you're saying, because you're coming down on your heel and there's nothing there. It sort of like disappears because there's really no cushion there. So what you have to do is you really have to run. The shoes are fine, but they're designed around a specific running form. And unless you use that specific running form, they're going to feel weird to you. They're going to feel like there's a really a drop off in the heel. No cushion in the heel, or too much cushion in the heel, like a soft spot. When you're running in these shoes, you have to land on the midsole. There's a if you look at the bottom of the shoe, there's a big landing pad right in the midsole. So you have to practice landing on that. And the way you land on that midsole is by running with your feet so they land directly underneath you. So you have to lean forward, but don't lean forward at the waist. Lean forward at the ankles. So shift your weight forward, and you have to shift your pelvis forward. So you have to run upright with your pelvis shifted forward. Like it's as if someone tied a rope around your midsection and was pulling you by that rope. That's what I mean by shifting your pelvis forward. And then you have to bring, so you're going to land on your midsole with your feet directly under you, your pelvis forward, and you're going to kick back behind you. So you got to practice on that kick back. That's, if you do that and practice that, then, you know, I'm not going to tell you it's a more efficient running style, but I'll tell you the shoes will feel better. All right, so that's the deal on the New Balance 800s. And I was doing that today out around the mall.
Yes, of course. Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain. But me and Pippi Longstocking, I mean, what would the children look like?
I think so, Brain, but isn't Regis Philbin already married?
I think so, Brain, but this time you wear the tutu.
I think so, Brain, but where are we going to find a duck in the hose at this hour?
Well, I think so, Brain, but if we didn't have ears, we'd look like weasels.
But I think so, Brain, but I can't memorize a whole opera in Yiddish.
I think so, Brain, but culottes have a tendency to ride up so.
I think so, Brain, but there's still a bug stuck in here from last time.
No, Pinky.
And now for our featured interview.
You there, Ashley?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we're back, and we're live as we get anyhow. So, hey, you are Ashley, and you are MS Run the U.S., the dynamo behind MS Run the U.S. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do,
okay,
and give us a little background on how you got yourself into this situation.
Okay. Well, my full name is Ashley Cumlin, and I am from Wisconsin, and I came up with MS Run the U.S., which is basically an idea. I'm going to run across America starting March 22nd, 2010, and I'm going to be running 20 to 30 miles a day from San Francisco to New York, and so that'll put me in New York around September. So I also started a nonprofit organization to be the backbone of the idea, MS Run the U.S., and where it came from is my mom has been fighting multiple sclerosis for 27 years now, just over 27 years, and she's been a real inspiration to me my whole life and has really helped me put my life into a perspective just by being the wonderful person that she is and all the struggles that she goes through because she has some handicaps and disabilities. So she's a really great, positive person and has really helped me make my life as great as possible. So I came up with this idea last year around this time in October to run across America, and I thought it would be a great fundraiser for multiple sclerosis and a great way to get attention and awareness about the disease. So, yeah, I quit my job. I was working as a rock climbing and surf instructor on a cruise ship. I quit that job. What's that?
So you were like Julie McCoy?
Yeah.
On the boat?
I didn't know who Julie was before I started working on cruise ships, and people would board and they're like, "Oh, you must be Julie," and I'm like, "No, I'm Ashley." So I do know who Julie is now. Yes, I was kind of like Julie, but the sport version.
The sporty Julie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I got really inspired by this idea. I thought it would be a great way to get my mom's story out there. So I quit my job to pursue MS Run the U.S., figured out how to build a website, and came up with msruntheus.com, and have just been pursuing it from there.
Okay, for the layperson, can you explain to us what MS is and how it affects people?
Okay. MS is a autoimmune disease, which means that your body attacks itself, so its own defense mechanisms start attacking some area in your body. So with multiple sclerosis, which actually means many scars, your body starts attacking the central nervous system, brain, the spinal cords, optic nerves. And the thing with MS is it's as unique as the individual that has it, so nobody has the same cases, symptoms, whatever. So basically, you can get pain, numbness, tingling all over the body. It can go as little numbness in the hand all the way up to completely paralyzed and bedridden. Some of the major problems with it are vision problems, loss of sight, fine motor skills, or any movement in general is really disrupted because your neurons are covered in a protective insulation, and in multiple sclerosis, that insulation is stayed away at, and then the nerve is exposed, so the signals don't go as direct from the brain to the muscles.
Okay.
So that's kind of
what causes this, Ashley?
They don't know, actually. They kind of have a collective idea of ways that you can try and protect yourself from it, but they find that the farther you're away from the equator, the increased chances you have of multiple sclerosis. So they think it's related to the amount of vitamin D you get. They think it may be a virus that you get when you're younger that accumulates into something when you're older, but now they're finding that it's the most common progressive disease in young adults today. So that's a little scary. And, you know, they can't pinpoint what causes it. And it's not necessarily genetic either. I have an increased 20% chance of getting it because my mom has it, but it was never a genetic thing in our family. Nobody else in our family has ever had it. So kind of can strike out of nowhere, can strike anyone at any time.
Wow.
So, and you don't know, when you get it, you don't know how bad it could be. My mom has had it for just now 27 years, and she was doing really good for the first 15 years. In the last 10 years, it's been a steady, you know, downhill. She also has seizures from it because of the areas that she has the scarring on her brain has given her seizures as well. So she had a really bad grand mal seizure about 10 years ago, and it's been pretty difficult since then. She can't write. She needs help walking. She hasn't driven a car in over 12 years. She can't really pursue any of her hobbies that she did when she was younger. She played the guitar, the piano. She sang and wrote music and poetry and avid water skier, and those are all things that she can't do anymore. So.
Yeah, so you're going to go out and you're going to raise money for this, for what, for primary research for the disease?
Yeah, I would like primary research, and I'm also really, it affects the person and affects the whole family as well, and there are individuals out there who maybe aren't in a unique situation where they can have someone take care of them. So I really want to have the money go to the, you know, individuals and families through programs as well. So that's going to be filtered through already existing nonprofit organizations right now, and that's all in the works, getting a partnership with those right now. I have two.
So good you. I mean, you seem to be very organized and official with things. You've got the 501(c) set up. You know, you've got you're definitely approaching this like a, almost like a business, huh?
Yeah, the idea was just to, you know, do it once, but once I really dove headfirst into it, I really view this as a business for me now. I would like to keep MS Run US going as a yearly event and keep building on this nonprofit organization. So, yeah, the 501(c)(3) has really helped me in so many areas. It's going to be huge for anyone who wants to sponsor me in corporate giving. All of those dollars are tax deductible. So that's really huge, and it's helped me get into organizations and has put me in line for certain nonprofit contests already. So it was a long process. I did the application by myself, sat down for 2 months and sorted through all that, which was pretty difficult, but looking back on it now, was well worth it.
Hey, I'll give you another tip. I'm a race director for a nonprofit too, and I got like $15,000 worth of, you know, value free software from Salesforce.com. Mm-hmm. They have a special version of this software to manage your sponsorship and your charity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's put all your contacts and all your stuff into it and manage your donations. It's pretty cool, so you should look into that.
Oh, I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah, well, Salesforce.com.
Salesforce.com.
So, yep. Hey, you know, you're relatively young to be this organized and this focused. You know, you're maybe not quite, but almost half as young as I am. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Are you just early mature, or, you know, it makes me feel good about the youth of America, but how did you get there?
I honestly feel like maybe parts of it were just in my personality at a really young age. My dad always likes to tell the story about my grandma lives down the street. When I was like 2 years old, I decided to go visit her. And without telling anyone, so she called my parents and was like, hey, you know, Ashley is here at the house, and I just waltzed down the street and felt like that was okay. So I feel like I have a sense of adventure and independence already instilled in me from birth or something. But really, my mom has been huge in my life. I can remember instances in high school when things had happened to me. I've torn both my ACLs playing soccer. And those are situations where athletes feel, you know, hopeless or depressed or, you know, they're really upset about their certain situations. And, you know, having to grow up and watch someone that you love and care for go through disabilities and struggles on a regular daily basis, I mean, it just makes you feel so much different about your life and the way that you should live it. So I've really kind of just taken everything head on and really just tried to live life to the fullest. And so I've always loved running, and my high school teacher told me that the best way to find true life happiness is to figure out what you love to do in life and then find out how to get paid for it. So that's always been in the back of my head, and when I thought about running across America, you know, just running in general I love, and then, you know, not necessarily getting quote-unquote paid for it, but to be able to help raise awareness about multiple sclerosis and, to be able to inspire other people, it moves me so much that I quit my job. So,
You know what? This is a nice segue, because I was reading on your blog, your most recent blog, you quoted Walt Disney. Do you remember what you said there, what that quote was?
Yeah, it was I don't know if I can quote it exactly, but it was his, he said, there are three kinds of people in this world. There are well poisoners, people who try and distract you from your dreams or drag you down and tell you that they're not possible. There's lawnmowers, and those are people who are well-intentioned but self-absorbed, and they tend to their own lawn. And then there are life enhancers, and those are the people who try and inspire others and make other lives better off. And he had said that we need to, as individuals, be life enhancers, and we need to surround ourselves with life enhancers. And I based my blog off of that quote.
Yep, and that's a great thing to do. That's a great sentiment. I think that's perfectly applicable. And you'll find that in every situation in your life, you're going to have your energy removers.
Exactly.
And the people who add value. So it's interesting.
I've actually come across so many things as well that I didn't see happening to me emotionally and physically after starting this kind of quest. And one thing that I've just realized that maybe I didn't have full grasp on before is if you want to feel happy and if you want to feel good about yourself, help someone less fortunate than you. I mean, there's no better way to put your life into a great momentum into the positive direction than helping someone who needs you more than you need them. It's changed my life, and it's been a great experience. So that's all about life enhancing, helping other people and making their life better. And in turn, you feel better about your life.
Well, a person as organized and as driven as you must have a good plan for this running across the United States thing. So tell us what your plan is, your detailed plan. I bet you have a notebook of some sort too, don't you?
I have many notebooks. I have, I've gotten a lot more organized than what I first was. It was writing ideas down on little pieces of paper and storing them wherever. So yes, I have a notebook that I write all of my ideas on.
Ashley, have you talked to Dave McGilvery?
No, I have not.
Have you read his book? Look up his book. It's called The Last Pick. And Dave McGilvery is a gentleman I know. He's the race director for the Boston Marathon. But when he was your age in, 1976, he ran across the United States for the Jimmy Fund. So he had, and he's one of those ultra-organized people, too. But just a good reference point for you.
I've heard
so
of the
So go
book.
Ahead. What's your plan?
The plan. Well, the first plan is to, the number one thing in my plan is to just have a great time. You can't make it across America doing 23 miles a day if the plan isn't to have a lot of fun. So I think I'm so excited to start. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I also, plan number two is touch as many lives as I can and talk to as many people as I can and have them meet my mom just to see firsthand what this disease can do to an individual and also to meet her just in general, to see her positive attitude and the effect that she has on people that are just around her. She's a big ray of light. So I feel like if they meet my mom, that'll be, they can take that into their lives and make their lives better. So, I'm working on sponsorship right now. I'm putting together a business plan and a sponsorship proposal for MS Run the U.S., and it's really about researching potential corporations that would be interested in funding a run like this because I am young. I'm 25, and I didn't save up a ton of money, so this is going to cost a little bit, and so the plan right now is to work on that and hopefully get the motorhome, the RV, all set up and, in San Francisco, March 22nd, and then when it comes to the beginning of the run, there's two mountain ranges I run through right away. And so I'm going to keep the mileage closer to 20 miles a day in the beginning. And I'm going to use the terrain and the mountains and the low mileage to really build up my running stamina. And then once I get over the Rockies, I feel like once I hit the Midwest, I'm just going to burn through it. That's my idea, in my head at least, and then take it all the way to New York. And right now, the mileage and the timing, I kept it at average of 20 miles a day for the whole crossing. I feel like I can do more, but I'm feeding in a bit of room for error there. So it's going to be interesting once I hit the Midwest to see how quickly I can finish it out. And trying to stay on.
And you're also breaking it up into like 5 mile chunks through the day, if I read it correctly, right?
Yeah, and that actually maybe changed a little bit. I ran into someone at the the Milwaukee Lakefront Marathon Expo, and he ran from Florida to Maine, I believe. And he gave me a little tidbit, is that he found that he ran 10-mile chunks at a time, and that was better on his body, because when you do 5 miles, then I would be going out more often. He said it gets really tiring. So the 5 to 7 miles four times throughout the day is kind of, it's the tentative plan, but if I end up doing 10-mile, 15-mile chunks, because that's better for my body, then I'll totally do that as well. But that's the idea, is to break it up throughout the day.
Yeah, I think you will talk to some other folks who have done it, because that's what I and you have this experience too from running relays, that it's not as easy as it sounds breaking it up into smaller chunks. It's almost easier to do it in one long shot. Mm-hmm. Gives you more time to recover.
Definitely.
So we'll see. So you're from Waukesha, huh?
Brookfield, actually. Brookfield.
Brookfield.
Yeah.
I used to work up there. I had a client up there. I said I had a client up there. I know exactly where that is.
I love Wisconsin. Wisconsin is great, one for training. I mean, I've been through every weather system that you can think of up here. So going through snow, rain, sleet, you know, really blistering summers, I feel really well prepared for the weather that I'm going to hit when I cross the U.S. And the people here are awesome as well. So Wisconsin has been a great place to grow up.
So you recently were down in Australia for some reason, and you had a great experience with somebody setting up a golf tournament for you and raising a whole bunch of money right out of the blocks?
Yes, I went to Australia for 3.5 weeks. That is where my boyfriend is from, because we met on the cruise ship, and he is the operations manager for MS Run the U.S. now, and him and a couple of his friends set up a charity golf day, and it was our first event for MS Run the U.S., and he's actually still collecting money from that and doing a couple of the fundraisers. So right now it's approximately about $7,000 that we raised in one day for the event. We had a charity golf day, and then we auctioned off a couple memorabilia, and I had a 10-minute radio interview on the Sport Channel in Melbourne, Australia, and that led to 2 newspaper articles as well. So in 3 weeks, I got some pretty good coverage on an event that's not even part of their country, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good, I know people struggle with collecting sponsorship and stuff. That's great to have that kind of success out of the gate. I think you'll do fine, though, because, you know, looking at your site and looking at your pictures, I think someone will want your smiling face on their bumper stickers.
Oh, thank you.
So I think you'll
back of everyone's car.
Exactly. Exactly, because I think you're really committed and you're energetic and you'd be a good spokesperson for something.
Thank you.
Right?
One thing that I'm hoping is that, you know, sponsors that contact me or, you know, listen to this podcast as an example, is everybody that, has either interviewed me or asked me questions about this, I usually have a pretty good answer for them, because I've put a lot of thought into this. I've thought about this every day for a year now, since October. So to really think something through every day and, you know, like you said, I'm pretty organized, and I have a lot of things in line and in order. I just need that sponsorship to come through, and I think that it will come through as well, and I'm hoping just to inspire a lot of people, because I think that's going to help change other people's lives as well, and that's the idea.
So before we get any further, tell us how to contact or where to find your website and how to donate and that sort of thing.
The website is msrunthus.com. And that's pretty easy to remember, because what am I running for? MS. What am I doing? Run the U.S. Put it together. So that's the website, and there's a donate link on there as well. And you can donate through Internet Secure with U.S. Bank, and that's a great thing to have set up on the website. So I do accept credit card, or if you would like to mail me a check, there is the address and all of the contact info. If anyone would like to contact me personally, they can email me at msrunTheUS@live.com, or they can call my number, and that is 262-894-3645. So that's how to get a hold of me, and if you're inspired by this, definitely put some money in there and donate. Everything is going to be going to helping find a cure for multiple sclerosis and helping those individuals affected by it.
Yeah, the only flaw in your plan is you're going to New York instead of Boston. So,
I've heard that a few times. I've had a lot of people.
I tell all the people who I talk to are running across the U.S., and you're not the only one that's you want to go to Boston, not New York.
Yeah.
So
that's what I've heard. A lot of people have tried to defer me from New York. I have a pretty strong contact in New York, and one of the organizations I would like to give some of the money to is based out of New York. So I'm hoping that New York ends up being a good a good final spot for me. And I've never been there. I think it would be really cool to run into New York and, you know.
Yep. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding because I'm up in Boston.
No kidding allowed. There's no joking around here.
Yeah, no fun allowed. As we wrap this up in summary, you know, what would be the top things that you'd want to leave people with? What's the message you want to leave people with?
The main message is just keep individuals who are fighting multiple sclerosis in mind and keep the disease in mind, because one thing with that is those individuals who are out in the world who are still employed and who can still have a job and still drive, they have MS and you may see them, and one of the things is a lot of people say, well, they look so good, quote unquote. But a lot of things with the disease aren't visual. Most things with the disease aren't visual, cognitive and all that. So just keep them in mind and know that they have things going on internally that you may not know about. So multiple sclerosis is a serious disabling disease that I hope you're inspired to donate towards. Two, I still need sponsorship to cover the finances of the run. So if anyone listening is like, well, that'd be great, I would love to sponsor this girl or look into MS Run the U.S. a bit more, you can visit the website and contact me, and I have some things put together that I can present to corporations or companies, and with a bit more specific information on the proposal packages. And three, I do have that blog, and I'm on Twitter as well. So follow MS Run the U.S. on Twitter and the blog on the website, and just any support along the way talking about what I'm trying to do and who I'm, you know, multiple sclerosis, raising awareness about that, just spreading the word about this run would be a huge help.
No, you're right on track. I think you'll do fine.
Thank you very much. So, one last thing. Running is awesome, so everybody should do it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'm going to let you go. It was great talking to you, and I think you're going to do great on this in this endeavor.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your support and your time. This has been a great interview.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
Well, I think so, Blaine, but burlap chafes me so.
Here's today's quick tips.
Good morning, folks. It's Chris, but what time is it? 6:20. Gotta wait for the sun to come up a little bit. I'm down in the pond with my friend, letting him go for a little swim. Pond's like glass. Most of the leaves are down. Got full moon. Sun's just coming up now. Official sunrise is in a few minutes. There's a beaver swimming circles over there. I don't know what he's doing. Hope the dog doesn't see him. Him or her. I don't know. And, yeah, it's pretty out. It's nice. About 40. Kind of chilly, but no frost, no ice. Leaves are all down the trail now. Makes trail running a little sketchy because, you know, I know that these trails so well that I know where all the rocks are and roots are, but you got to watch where you put your foot. You got to be ready to roll, so you got to watch if you want to twist that ankle. I got a couple of questions this week. I had asked people for beginner questions because I wanted to do some more beginner stuff. There he goes. He's out for a swim. Man, that's cold. There he is. He's standing on that rock, the one I always talk about. He's out there standing on that rock in the pond, looking around. I got a couple questions from Margot in Paris. And I got to tell you, Margot, I'm thrilled to have a friend named Margot in Paris. That just makes my day. Love to go to Paris. All the travel I've done, I have only been through Paris. I've never stayed and looked around, so I'd love to do that. So she asked me, said her husband said it was bad etiquette to pass people in the last couple hundred meters of a race. And I don't think so. You know, it depends on your form, I guess, but if you can outkick somebody in the last 200 meters, go for it. You know, that's perfectly okay as long as you're not knocking people down or getting in people's way. There's nothing wrong with having a good kick and passing people in the last few hundred meters. You know, if you've been dogging it and walking it, it might be a little unsavory to then go sprinting by everybody for the cameras. So you might think about that. At the end of the day, though, you got to be careful on what kind of race it is. If you're wearing a chip, the race ends when you cross the second mat, or there's going to be a timing mat on the ground. And so if you're wearing a chip, that's when the race ends, when you cross that mat. You're going to get clocked. So anything after that, you can do whatever you want. Anything before that, you can do whatever you want. If it's not a chip time race, then you'll see there's a person standing at the finish line with basically a little tape reader thing. And when you cross, they hit the button. Every time somebody crosses, they hit the button. They don't know who you are. They just know that someone crossed at that time. And then when you get to the end of the shoot, the finishing shoot, someone will write down your number, and then they'll correlate the numbers to the finish times. So that's how timing gets screwed up in races. So if you change places in the shoot, that's definitely bad form, because you're going to screw up the timing, you're going to screw up the results. So don't do that. And the other question she asked me was a religious question, and that was, should I wear my iPod in the race? Which is, if you have read any of the forums or boards, this is one of the burning questions of our age, as it appears. Very religious. I wrote an article, you can look it up on it, and they posted it on active.com. I originally wrote it for Cool Running, but they posted it on active.com, and it was called The iPod Controversy Brews in Racing, and this was in 2005. And first 2 weeks up, we had 300 hits, and you would have thought we were talking about euthanasia, the Holocaust, and abortion all rolled into one. Some of the comments we get on this thing, just totally polarized. Some people, they go, oh, I train with my iPod, I can't run without it, why would you deny me? And other people are like, you know, it's about running, it's not about your iPod. So I'm not going to come down on a religious debate, but go look up that article in Active. Just Google it and read some of the responses, because it's really interesting how over the top people get about this. I've done both. I've run races, all sorts of races with my iPod. I've run without it. These days I tend to run without, because it's just one more thing to carry, and I like talking to people. So yeah, I'm that annoying guy who pulls up beside you and starts talking with you. That's me. Officially, the USATF, which was the governing body of road racing and racing in the States anyhow, its rule was no iPods, because it fell under the electronic assistance category, meaning that, you know, you could potentially be getting an unfair advantage over other competitors by having some sort of electronic assist. They recently modified that rule because of this whole stink, and they basically weaseled out and said it's up to the race director's discretion. So the race director gets to decide whether to allow iPods or not. And you want to check your race before you go, because some of them will actually say no iPod. And if you wear it, they'll pull your number and they'll disqualify you. I do know of such races. Other races will say, we don't care, wear your iPod. Most of them, the majority of the races are going to be sort of a don't ask, don't tell. They'll say something along the lines of, we recommend that you don't wear an iPod, or you don't wear headphones, or headphones are denied, but they won't enforce it. So that's how you usually plays out. If you're not running on a closed course, if you're running on a course that's open to traffic, you gotta keep your head up. Don't be running in front of cars. Just, you know, you are, I know people say they can hear, but you are cutting down your hearing a little bit, so just be careful if you're not running on a closed course. That's my weaseling out answer on the great iPod question. All right, ciao, Margot. Au revoir, my friend.
Well, then, what are we gonna do tomorrow night?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, trying to take over the world. Right.
Okay, folks, that's it. You've used your endurance sports training to endure yet another episode. Episode 94 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. So next week, I've got an interview with Stosh, who's a famous blind figure skater. It's real inspirational stuff. I also have my 100th episode coming up, so I'll have to cook up something special for that. And as you are listening to this, I'll be celebrating another birthday, which I guess beats the alternative. And I think you should really send me a present, because I like presents. Are we still having fun? I gotta tell you, I really enjoyed the heck out of this particular show. When it stops being fun, I'll stop doing it! Exclamation point. Big congrats to everyone who ran races this month. A special congrats to our Puerto Ricano friend, Señor Ingleses, who I think ran a sub-310 at New York for a strong Boston qualifier. Also our friend Carlos the Jackal, who single-handedly keeps the Run Run Live team in the Buckeye Podcaster Challenge with all his miles. He ran a smoking fast 100-miler last week. Nice work by the Jackal. And by the way, you should log your miles for the Run Run Live team over on Buckeye, because I'd love to be able to lord it over the other podcasters. Seriously, you should go to runningpodcast.org and check out some of the other running podcasts as well. It's all good folk. Find something that suits your taste. I've also read a number of race reports of people who struggled in the last miles of their races and maybe didn't have the best experiences. And for you, I'm going to read something written by Ashley's mom, Jill, in 1995, before she lost her ability to write to MS. And it's called Peace. We cannot know what lies ahead from day to passing day. What changes God is planning in his wise and loving way. We cannot know the reasons he allows both joy and tears, why we must lose those precious ones we've cherished all through the years. We cannot know, but we can trust, and faith can help us find our ways to those tomorrows that will bring us peace of mind. The little snippet of background music used in the skit was by Fumitaka Anzai, and it was called Mermaid Song. You should look that up. He's got some good, funky, classical stuff on the PodSafe Music Network. And to take you home, the music is a song by the Black Angels called Bloodhounds on My Trail. And while you're out on your trail, and I'm out on my trail, I will see you out there, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.